Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and we're here to help achievers, business owners, and leaders in Rochester move forward so they can reach their potential. And I do that by meeting with really Rochester's movers and shakers, great business leaders, entrepreneurs, etc. And today I have not only a friend and also somebody that I do business with for a long time now, but a great, great mover and shaker making things happen in Rochester, Phil Pecora. Phil, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Dave. Thank you for having me today. I'm flattered.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I wanted to have you on the show because people say, the president of a bank, how is that guy an entrepreneur? But I have been a client, I don't know how long, 10, 12 years at least. And you are truly an entrepreneur through and through, even though you're, they say bankers, not entrepreneur. No, you are. I mean, I have been a client. You guys were in a very small office on Monroe Avenue across from Pitcher Plaza. And now I am here at your corporate office here on Winton. And I am sitting in a boardroom that I think is bigger than a lot of people's houses. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is...
we're proud of our space here, for sure.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So, Phil, I'm going to read your bio a little bit, and then we're gonna dig a little bit deeper behind the curtain to see if you can share some of your secret sauce with us. So Phil Pecora currently serves as president and CEO of Genesee Regional Bank, otherwise known as GRB, a position he has held since 2003. With more than 20 years of banking experience, Pecora previously served as Senior Vice President, Manager of Commercial Banking for GRB, and as a Commercial Loan Officer for a large regional bank. Pecora currently leads GRB's executive management team, overseeing the bank's financial, operational, administrative, underwriting, and sales activities. He also serves as the bank's liaison to community support activities. During his tenure at GRB, the bank has grown from under $40 million in total assets to now more than $540 million in 2016. Phil received his BA in economics from the University of Rochester and his MBA in finance from the William E. Simon School of Business. In addition to sitting on GRB's board of directors, Phil currently is chairman of the board of trustees at McQuaid Jesuit and also co-chairs the Boy Scouts of America Seneca Waterways Council Casting for Character fundraising event. Previously, he served as a board member and president of the Rochester Small Business Council. In his spare time, I don't know how you have any spare time, but in your spare time, Phil gets to spend time with his wife and his kids and also has some hobbies like fly fishing, golfing, and skiing. So, Phil, it sounds like you're leading a truly well-rounded life.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
That's a big part of it. Thank you, David.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. So, Phil, I want to, just go back so we were, a few months ago, we were together at Phil Saunders, mm-hmm. who is, what's his official title, the chairman, founder?
Chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board. Pretty much owns the bank with other people. But
17 shareholders, but he's one of our primaries.
Yeah, sure. And so we were just at Oak Hill a few months ago celebrating his 80th birthday party, which was so much fun. And so what was great is he kind of told the story about how he brought you on. And would you mind sharing that a little bit? Because I thought it was such a great story where, it was wasn't there a little hesitation about bringing you on as a young guy, maybe not a ton of experience to be president, but Phil said, he kind of made some demands. Is that right?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I appreciate your opening comments about the entrepreneurship of a bank. And,
mm-hmm, yeah.
I tell that story a lot. People think about banks being very institutional.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're a small business, right? And I think that's what positions us so well in terms of serving that business market, because we enjoy a lot and we suffer a lot of the same challenges and opportunities that our clients experience.
You're one of us.
Experience.
You're
and
one of
absolutely
us.
Absolutely true. And, who better to lead that effort from a chairmanship standpoint than Phil Saunders?
Right. So, who is like the epitome of an entrepreneur? Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And at 80 years old, as you mentioned, I mean, Phil is. I'm 47 now, and I have trouble keeping up with him. It's amazing how
I joke that I think Phil at 80 years old can kick my 47-year-old butt.
You know what? There's no doubt about it. Over a beer, we can tell some stories about that. I've seen that happen. But anyway, so you allude to a story early on. So I did, as you mentioned in my bio, I joined the bank as the to lead the commercial banking effort. It was a great lofty title.
Yeah.
Senior Vice President, Manager of Commercial Banking. But the truth was I was the only commercial banking person at the bank. you know, $40 million in assets. That's the size of a small bank branch for a larger bank. So really there wasn't any effort there. And my past experience, you mentioned a large regional bank. It was M&T Bank that I spent 7 years at and learned quite a bit. But I had met Phil Saunders through that experience. And when he brought me on to lead that commercial banking effort, I had to do a lot of things, hire people and the such. And really, I took on that opportunity with the thought that someday I will become president. And those were discussions that Phil and I had. I was very forthright about what my expectations were, and he echoed those. And he said, you know, at the time I was 32 years old, and he says, you know what, you have great experience. You come with great experience. You'll learn even more being part of a small bank, and that opportunity will be yours down the road. Well, lo and behold, about a year and a half into my time here at the bank, the president at the time stepped down, and that there was an opening there. And at first, my initial reaction was, oh, you know, here we go, right? They're going to have to hire some other guy with experience. Now my timeline just extends because they're not going to hire someone who's ready to retire. They're going to hire someone with some time horizon left. And the next day, I get the call from, or that day when the former president stepped down, I get the call from Mr. Saunders and his fellow, we're going to go to lunch. Dante Galassi and I are going to take it to lunch. Dan's one of our other major shareholders.
Right, okay.
And I'm thinking here they're going to break the news to me, you know. Right. Son, you're doing a great job, but you know,
too young, a couple more years.
And you know, it was quite the contrary. I said, Phil, you know what? You've shown us a lot in the past 18 months. You still have a lot to learn, but we have the confidence in you. We want to give you the opportunity.
So this time you're what, 33, 34?
I was 33. 34. Yeah, right. Somewhere between there. I don't remember. It's a long time ago now.
That is.
I used to be a young bank president.
Right.
Phil, you're a young. I don't hear that anymore. I don't hear that.
Still pretty young at some of the other bank presidents, but
So you know, there was a whole another part of the story, but you know, and you heard that evening with the we had to get to name your president, particularly at that stage of the bank because it was a startup bank.
Yeah.
We still weren't making money again. Typical business, right? You're in the startup phase. You're trying to find your way. You have to cover your overhead expenses. We weren't there yet.
Yeah.
So it was a little tenuous in terms of getting those approvals from our regulatory governing bodies. They weren't overly excited about having a 32-year-old relatively green guy come in, but you know, Mr. Saunders was very insistent. And you know what, to their credit, they deferred to his judgment, and he was pretty adamant about it. And he was like, listen, is it your bank or my bank? If it's my bank, I make the decisions.
Right.
And kudos to him, and I was very thankful, obviously.
Yeah, he fought for you.
To this day, he fought for me.
He remembered your goal when you came in, and then he fought for it, too.
And you know what? I mean, so the point of this is about entrepreneurship, and I think one of the qualities that Phil has is great instincts.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had immediate chemistry in terms of where I saw the vision of the bank, and you know, he saw my work ethic. I was certainly very ambitious at the time. I still am today, but I was actually even in a better spot because my wife had a nice job at Bausch & Lomb. We didn't have any children,
right?
So I was, you know, again, entrepreneurship. I was in a great risk-taking position in my life work real hard, and if you fall on your face, you don't have to worry about feeding the kids, just yourself. You know,
right?
And,
yeah.
And my wife, again, she had a great job.
You both are skinny. You don't eat that much, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, but it's a great story, and this is your third location that I know about.
That's right, and you know, and that's been part of the, you know, so the shifting paradigm of banking is we've been along this path of growth from, you know, you mentioned in the bio we're under 40 million. Actually, that bio was written a few months ago. We're actually approaching 600 million today.
Wow.
You know, you mentioned 540 million.
Yeah.
And really the neat thing about how that has all happened, our primary focus has been commercial banking, small business banking, which we can talk about more. Obviously very coincidental with what this program is about. But it also, you know, that growth came at a time where technology and the way people go about their banking activities has changed tremendously. So, you know, initially we talked about, as we grew the bank, again, I mentioned 40 million, that was kind of a little bit over the break-even point of when a branch becomes profitable.
Right, yeah.
And at that time, we had three branches at that time. We had four branches at that time, and we were $40 million in assets. So.
Hey, Phil, we got to take a quick break. Sorry to cut you off.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Okay, great.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
Hey, folks, Dave Momato here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology, but most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more, and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184. 800-368-5184.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Momano, your host. We're sitting here today with Phil Pecora, who is president. Is that your official title, right? President and CEO of Genesee Regional Bank, a great local bank. He's telling the story how a bank at the same time can be very entrepreneurial. When Phil took the reins and came over to the bank, they were doing around $40 million and not profitable. And so, like many entrepreneurial adventures, Phil has ridden the roller coaster himself, and really successfully on the you know, keeps outgrowing space. You're in your third office here. Yep. I talked about that we're in your boardroom, which is probably about 20 times the size of my first apartments. It's beautiful, and you're approaching $600 million now in assets, yep. Right?
Right.
And on the way to a billion, mm-hmm. which
Absolutely.
Is very exciting.
The next 5 years.
And so I've been very entrepreneurial. How about employee count? Do you remember how many when you started were here and how many are
Yeah, we had we had 17 when we started.
17?
Of the 17, I was one, and we still have two of those original 17. So three of us still are here today, but today I think we just hired our 110th employee today. 109 or 110, I forget.
Wow.
Yeah.
10 times.
Which, honestly, as an entrepreneur, I mean, that's one of the more gratifying things about growing a business.
You're supporting families here in Rochester.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And I've known a lot of the people. So I've been a customer. I got to look up the year I opened my account.
Long time.
I came over from M&T Bank, like you, but in a different way.
Yeah.
And really, it was, you know, I liked M&T, good guys, certainly. It's just I knew a lot of the people here. And for me, that's been very important locally. I don't want to be a number at a big, you know, conglomerate. I just don't. Right. I want to be able to call you and have you, like, return my call that day. And you do. So, you know, I know Dave Halliday. You just hired a couple years ago one of my friends, Lita. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people here. Pat Murray. I mean, I know. So it's, you know, so I don't know if you, even if you know this, but a few years ago, you know, that you did a focus group with a local ad agency, and I was in it. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, you know, I think you guys were behind the glass wall or something, and I found out later. But, you know, and you were doing some great questioning with this marketing firm about where to go with the bank and what's your secret sauce, in my opinion, what keeps me here instead of going to a bigger bank. And it really was the fact that I know you guys. I know that I can walk in, I can feel special, I can talk to you one-on-one, and I'm not just like some number in a field on a spreadsheet down in New York City, you know?
Right, that's right.
And it means a lot. It means a lot, I think, especially with this community. You know, I think it's the biggest, or I'll say it's the smallest 1 million person region in the world, right? I mean, there's supposedly 1 million people in the 5-county greater Rochester area. But, man, you know, you do something right, people know about it. You do something wrong, people know about it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm always amazed and impressed because it's a very difficult task to do. And you probably, you know, I don't know if you even like kind of self-reflect on it, but what are some of your personal, I'll say, processes, success habits as a leader on continuing to grow the bank from not only a growth, a revenue growth perspective, but also just the people and the culture.
Right.
And how do you, I mean, you look very calm. You just worked out. you know, you look great. You don't look stressed. You know, you're not checking your phone and, you know, people aren't like running in here to, Phil, we need you, you know.
Right.
And maybe you're like the duck. You look cool right now, but your legs are going like crazy under the water.
Yeah.
But I'm sensing that you're able to do this with some calming confidence. And so anything that you could share with our listeners, who a lot of them are beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs, about some of your kind of habits and how you make that happen.
No, absolutely, and I do have high blood pressure, so a little bit of a duck there.
We'll say that's hereditary.
Yeah, it's hereditary. But you know what? This is very. I started to tell a story before the break about how technology drives the business today. But we're first and foremost, we are a people business. You alluded to that, right? I mean, this is a very relationship driven town. Rochester is. And you know how we go about our business is relationship driven on the sales side, but also on the back office side. It's a people business, right? Technology, that's the commodity side of the business, right? We have to have the same technology as Chase and M&T and everyone else. We have remote check capture. You can take pictures of your check with your phone and load that. That's like a must have to be in the business. It's how you go about on the people side running the business that makes the difference. And that's true of many businesses, right? Not just banking. And again,
not everybody does it, right?
You know? And so, you know, Phil Saunders' biggest compliment of me, and it's funny, we just went through a 360 evaluation process for our senior executive team, because I think it's important for, you know, it's one thing that you have to manage people and you're always telling your direct reports, you know, this is what you can do better. But as managers, we're certainly not perfect, right?
Right.
And so I think having that
for you to get
full
feedback,
view,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I loved that whole process. I
call it the most enjoyable punch in the stomach that you need, right?
Yeah. Right. But it's funny if you've been through it, obviously, and it's nothing. You know, when you get the report back, all it does is confirm what you already know. You know where your strengths, you know where your weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But again, Phil Saunders had mentioned early on in my career, and as you look at the success of the bank, You mentioned at least one of the folks on my senior management team, but it's all about people. And I've been a great recruiter of people to surround myself with.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about processes and procedures and such, and banks are full of them. I mean, we're highly regulated. It's a very complex business. And
you guys, insurance, you know, like financial services, right?
And let me tell you something. If you know Phil Pecora, that's not my strength. But
right.
What I've done was I've surrounded myself with people.
Yeah.
My CFO, Gary Schwingel, who was I've been with the bank now for 15 years.
Yeah.
Gary was my first hire on the executive team.
Yep. I know Gary Salad's
a couple years in, and he's been, you know, he is kind of the yin and the yang, right? I'm the business development, relationship skills guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. You love him to hang out with him, but he's behind the into the numbers.
He's going to keep you accountable.
He's going to keep you accountable, and so immediately that was that great chemistry because
we just complemented each other so well. So yeah. It's really been recruiting people. Elena Lazaroff brought over from my past experience at MMT. Dave Halliday, who you mentioned.
Yeah, I know Elena too. I know all these people.
It's and then it trickles down, right? You bring people who are like-minded, right? Because culture is a huge thing, and we'll talk about that later. But right, Pat Murray, I mean, all these people. So we just kept building upon that, right? And it's not perfect. I can't tell you that the 110 people here have been all sequential and no one's ever left. I mean, we've had some people leave. A few years ago, we brought on a whole residential mortgage team. We brought 45 people all on at once. Mm-hmm. Of those 45, there's only, we counted this the other day, I want to say there's, I think, 9 remaining here.
Right.
So, you know, that was tumultuous. But why is that? It's culture, right? Yeah. And we are very, you asked this question, we are very purposeful when we hire. And we want to make sure that people fit the culture of who we are as an institution. It doesn't mean they're a good person versus the bad person you didn't hire. It just means that they have the same values that we have as an institution. You know, maybe not exact, but close enough so that together we can grow and develop that culture even further. So, I mean, it's all about people. It's about fitting, you know, business is a puzzle, right? And you have areas that you need, you have some shortcomings, you got to find the right people positionally and expertise-wise to fill those. But then, you know what, you can be great technically. If you don't fit the culture, it's not going to be a good fit. So, you know, finding the two, it's a balance, but it's so necessary. And that's really but fuel their growth, right? I mean, that's the only thing that can fuel our growth is the people.
Right, getting the good people. You know, I think of Jack Welch, you know, former CEO of GE back in the day. He came up with slow to hire, quick to fire.
Absolutely.
But most people do the opposite, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you're a nice guy. I like to have a beer with you. You're hired.
Right. And then, or, oh, my God, we're short in this area. We got to fill this. Oh, my, we're short staffed. We got to get someone in the, and you hire quickly, and it becomes
And then when they start, you know, sucking, you know, let's work a little bit more with this, you know, and then, usually Jack Welch also said, you know, the minute you think that someone needs to be let go is probably the next minute you should let them go.
I agree with that.
You know, and it's tough. I mean,
It sounds harsh. It doesn't mean you're giving up on people, but, you know, it's symptomatic. I mean, very, very rarely are you able to turn a situation around because, again, it could be a cultural thing. It could be a level of expertise, and usually it's both to some degree, right?
I mean,
the person just doesn't fit for some reason, and they're not going to want to do the things that are necessary to be the right fit.
Well, then it's cultural, you're right.
Yeah.
And you know, I love his grid on how he would either keep people or fire people. So obviously if it was a good culture fit and good skills, you're a keeper. Bad on those two, you're gone. And then, but if you were good culture but low skills, he would say, all right, they got the attitude.
Right.
Let's train them. Let's see if we can give them the skills.
Yeah.
But what really I loved and changed my thinking as a business owner years ago was great skills, very good at the actual job, bad culture fit, so they're kind of a jerk. He would fire them.
Absolutely.
And it's tough to do because sometimes you think you're so reliant on somebody with great skills.
Right.
But if they're like poisonous to the organization, you got to get rid of them, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've seen it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't hire 110 people without making some mistakes and experiencing that firsthand.
Yeah. The whole one bad apple theory, right?
Oh, it couldn't be more true. It's
right.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of your I love just personal habits. Obviously you exercise because you just told me you worked out and you do it in the middle of the day, which is great. You know,
when I can. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I have to do it first thing in the morning, otherwise I'm too, I don't know, manic. You know. But that's just me. A lot of people do it after work. That's just my rhythm in the morning. And if I don't work out in the morning, which is rare now, I don't have a great day. Okay, that's my drug of choice, I think.
Absolutely.
Is, you know, it's just the adrenaline or the endorphins, I guess, from working out. So working out, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, well, we joked about the high blood pressure, but it's true, right? I mean, forget about high blood, just stress. Right?
Yeah.
Working out is a great stress reliever.
Yeah.
You know, not to talk too much about Phil Saunders, it's something Phil Saunders believes in strongly. And, you know, people who know Phil, Phil's a tough guy.
What is he, like 5? I mean, he's a very short guy, but he is.
Hopefully he's not listening.
Well, I can say that because I'm a short guy too. But I mean, 80 years old, like we're half joking, half not. I think he could kick our butts.
Oh,
you know, I mean,
no
a guy is like.
I wouldn't want to fight him.
And up until a few years ago, I what was it, that long distance canoe?
90-miler, yeah.
90-mile canoe race he would do through what, through the Adirondacks, is it right?
Yeah, through the Old Forge.
And he would win, Saranac right? Lake. I mean, wouldn't he win?
Yeah, he's won two or three times, yeah.
Yeah, and he hunts, and
he's an outdoors guy. But so Phil believes in it, and why? Because he understands, right, a successful business person, you have to have that work-life balance, but work is stressful, and if you're working hard at work, you should be also taking care of yourself physically. And
right,
you know, the one reason why I get away with doing it during the day is I have, you know, everyone is amazed I can do this, but when I'm on the elliptical machine, which I try to, part of my workout, I try to keep it to an hour, so some free weights, but then I actually, mostly it's stretching, because I got a bad back, which helps the golf game too, you know, stretching.
Yeah.
But then the elliptical machine, and while I'm on the elliptical machine for a half an hour, I can read.
Yeah.
So I bring all the stuff I'm supposed to read, because, you know, in my office, I got people in and out all day I can't read.
Right,
When I go in, if I have nothing to read for that day, I bring in the Wall Street Journal or the Rochester Business Journal, and that's where I get a lot of my reading done. So it's amazing what I can get done in that condensed.
So you're still working.
So I'm very efficient. I'm still working.
That's good. That's the part of the secret.
Yeah,
huh?
That's great.
Very good.
Great. Yep. But I think, you know, living life with vigor. So you got to, you know, whatever your interests are. You know, I put that, you read it out, that fly fishing is one of my true pleasures.
You've been doing that for a long time?
I've been doing it a long time. And the thing I love about that is that's like a release. And it's actually something I like doing it with friends, but I actually like, honestly, doing it more by myself.
Right, just to quiet,
there,
right?
You're quiet, and that gives me time to.
You don't bring your cell phone,
reflect.
Do you?
I don't bring my, I actually do bring my. You got to take pictures of the fish.
That's
you know?
True, too. Yeah, to prove that you're.
But
quiet.
I try not to answer the cell phone. But you know, the reality is life, especially when you're an entrepreneur, it takes you down paths where even the things you like to do the most, you don't do often. So, quite frankly, as much as I always list fly fishing as one of my passions, I do it very infrequently because I'm at a stage in my life where my kids are.
Yeah.
My son's 13. My middle daughter's 11 and my youngest is 9, so you have children, you know.
It's 12, 14, and 6. So
we're not in the office, we're on sidelines or in drama theaters,
right? Driving around,
wherever. Absolutely,
right? So. That's great. So, you get home at night, and then you're a family guy.
I'm a family guy, and I, you know, but as I built my career, honestly, before the kids got to this stage where I think it is critical that I spend a lot of time with them.
No, we got 1 minute. One minute before the break.
I think it's important to spend time with family for sure because that time goes by so quickly, right? And your kids grow and they're out of the house. But, you know, you got to be out there in the community, you know, talking about relationships. And I really built my career on being out and about, you know, and I still do it in a lot of ways today. It might not be with a cocktail in my hand after work quite as much as it used to be, but you know, whether it's lunch at one of the local clubs or what have you, you got to be out in front of people.
Yeah,
so it's such a well-networked community that if you're not, and I always tell this to our salespeople, no one's going to come knocking on your door when you're home watching TV saying they want to do business with you.
Right. Yeah.
When
yeah.
you're out and about and your face is in the community, you don't even have to be outward selling. Opportunities will arise if you build those relationships.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Phil, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Your one-stop shop for all your family's Halloween needs. But can you get an outfit out of the costume Nazi? I don't think so. The spirit said, you gotta give him a good reason. What could you be from an Army-Navy store? Drill instructor, ranger, marine commando, special ops operator, pilot, zombie Amelia Earhart, bandito, the other guy, border guard, get it? Tanker, Jill Valentine, Resident Evil, sailor, flight suit, prisoner, Leatherface, Top Gun, Goose and Maverick, Dead Goose, yeah, I said that, post-apocalyptic family, Big Boss, Metal Gear, Dictator, we have the cigars for it, Gaier, Street Fighter, Iron Mike's, MX.com, The Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube, see our Halloween video at The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
The Home Depot presents this Sports Flash powered by SB Nation Radio on 1310 WOKR. Major League Baseball, the World Series will continue tonight from Houston. That series is even at one. It was reported yesterday that Joe Girardi will not be returning next year as the manager of the Yankees. He completed the final season of a four-year, $16 million contract this year. NFL, the Buffalo Bills will be looking for their fifth win of the season on Sunday. They will take on the Oakland Raiders. Buffalo last week beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30-27. Big game against a good AFC opponent this week. New York Giants will have their bye week. They will come out of it against the Los Angeles Rams. And the Jets will be taking on the Atlanta Falcons. That game is on Sunday. More saving, more doing at the Home Depot. I'm Matt Harab on 1310 WOKR.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24-Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24-Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24-Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
Welcome to Fun with Fuel Additives, brought to you by the Berryman family of automotive products. Next caller.
Yeah, is this where I'll take the HEST test?
You mean HEST as in high energy solvent technology?
Yep.
HEST is what makes Berryman B12 fuel system cleaner the best on the market, and you can certainly test it against any other product on the market.
If I take this HEST test, will you grade on the curve?
Curves and straightaways, actually. Only Berryman is formulated with high energy solvents that clean the entire fuel system. Pick up a can of Berryman B12 fuel system cleaner at your automotive retailer today.
A radio station that educates and inspires. 1310 WOKR.
All right, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host. And this show really is to help you move your business, your life, your dreams forward. Avanti means move forward in Italian. Phil's Italian, you probably
yeah,
knew
absolutely.
That, right? I'm here with Phil Pecora, President CEO of GRB, Genesee Regional Bank. And we're hearing about how he brought this bank from around $40 million in assets to we're approaching $600 million and really almost 10 times the employment, three offices. It's a great, great success story in a little town called Rochester, New York, where and doing amazing things. And you're obviously you're very smart, hardworking, talented, know what you're doing. But you're really talking a lot about your team and the culture here as being a big part of the success,
yeah.
And I love that. What I also love is that you have a wife, you have three young kids, and it's a very instigative mission to balance that as well.
Absolutely.
Because I think that you see a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs that are very successful from a business perspective, but then you look at their health and you're like wondering if they're going to have a heart attack tomorrow.
Absolutely.
There's, you know, they're like really out of shape.
Yeah.
The family life is, you know, not great. And I always say that in my opinion, it's so important to be a well-rounded entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this out there. I bet if you had the choice to work at a $5 billion bank, but be overweight and have, not a great family life, you would rather choose a $2 million bank.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and balance everything. And,
yeah.
And so you're setting a really great example for that, too. And I don't want to make it blush, but, you know, you might be the best-looking bank president in Rochester.
It's a good thing it's a radio program, not a TV program.
You have a great face for radio, just like me. So, yeah. So how about, you know, I always want to ask entrepreneurs to other habits. So is there anything else going on working out? A lot of entrepreneurs will, like, they meditate, they do yoga, they read. Got any of that going on, or are you pretty maxed out with everything else you're doing?
You know, I am pretty maxed out. The other part, though, is and it's part of being a banker, but I think mm-hmm. it's incumbent on all of us as entrepreneurs is being charitable in mm-hmm. some way, and that doesn't mean
yeah.
writing checks. It's giving your time.
Yeah. And time, talent, or treasure, as they say.
Absolutely.
Right?
And yep. as, you know, entrepreneurs, time is such yep. a limited resource. But I think
yeah.
that's what, you know, if you overdo it too much in just your job, I think you're going to get burnt out, right? So you got to
right.
balance that. And, you know, you
yeah.
mentioned I'm chairman at McQuaid Jesuit, which is my alma mater. And let me tell
yeah.
you something. I joke
over there. I'm there a lot, and luckily it's only a mile and a half down the road. But
did you do that strategically?
Yeah, it almost seems that way. But my son's there as a freshman as well, so it works out very well. But it really is a second job in so many ways. I mean, I'm a very active chairman of that board, and but you know what? I have a lot of passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, passion is important in anything you're going to be successful in.
Yeah.
Whether it's your career, certainly your business, and your
you love it.
Your charitable efforts. I love it. So I mean, I think, but you know, I think it's not only good to be active in other pursuits such as that, not only because you're giving back, but you learn a lot.
Right.
I'm surrounded with we have a tremendous board of directors over there that, you know, the mission is different than over here. I learn a lot of things from my experience as chairman of McQuaid that, you know, they might not be directly applicable to what goes on here. But, you know, certainly they both lend each other to them to each other.
Well, you're probably meeting people that are, like you said, you're learning from, and in some way, shape, form, they're bringing you to your next level too, or giving you ideas of how you can be better. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's great. Well, Phil, congratulations! I'm very excited for you. It's been fun for me to watch as a customer of GRB Bank for all these years, just to watch the explosion and to see the culture not being sacrificed. I think that's fantastic. So we've talked about this before that, you know, my grandparents are from Sicily, and so are yours, and
my mother.
Oh, your mother, from Valguanera.
Valguanera.
Yeah, Valguanera, and I think my great grandmother is from there. I gotta check. So we might be related a little bit, but my you probably know this phrase. There's a Sicilian phrase that says the fish rots from the head down.
Yeah, right.
And they you know, the metaphor is for business. So if the leader of the organization is rotten, so goes the rest of the organization, the body, right? But conversely, if you know, the head of the organization is one that is has great integrity and energy, and somebody that people want to follow, a true leader, then there goes the rest of the organization too. So that's what I'm seeing here. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're a healthy fish.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So a lot of our Avanti listeners are beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs, or some people are even you know, thinking about starting a business.
Yep.
Right. What would be some basic advice, you know, as a banker, to say, here are some things that you should be thinking about when you are going to launch your business? What would be like maybe an outline of some 101 things for them to have a good foundation from a not even a banking perspective, but of course a banking perspective, but just as you as an entrepreneur as well, what are some of the things that they should be thinking about when they are ready to launch their business and have a first successful year?
Yeah, I'll talk about it in both perspectives. I guess, you know, from a banking perspective, you know, any business starts with capital. You know that, right? It's because you've started a lot of businesses, and, you know, a lot of people, I think, confuse financing with capital. I think there needs, you know, certainly financing is part of your capital structure, but you have to be well capitalized,
right?
Because as you start your business, and again, as entrepreneurs, I've experienced it, you've experienced it, it doesn't go in a straight line up,
right? It's, I mean, it's a very squiggly line.
It's a very squiggly line, and you can be a couple years into it, and that squiggly line might be in the down direction, and you got to withstand those times. So, you know, having capital to help launch you and keep you so you can persevere. So the difficulty, because things can happen out of your control.
Right.
Right. Industry shifts. You've gone through this where you have industry shifts.
Yeah.
You can have economy shifts. Right. I mean, and you know, without
be prepared, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. If you're relying strictly on financing for that could cut you short in a hurry. So that's something that I always stress. And, you know, sometimes, and, you know, again, going back to Phil Saunders, if you look at his career, he hasn't been 100% owner, I don't think, in any of his businesses.
Yeah.
He's always kind of shared the wealth, so to speak, a little bit, and he brings other people in from a diversification standpoint to give people skin in the game, allow them to grow. But sometimes it's necessary to do that, because you might have the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't have enough capital to get it going, it's better to have a smaller piece of a big pie than a big piece of a small pie in many cases, particularly if that's going to be the thing that sustains you and lets you propel your great idea into a larger company. I think from getting back to the people side of the business, and one of the things that I experienced early on, again, we started out with 17 employees. I was initially the manager of commercial banking, which meant I did the originations. I did the underwriting. I was the workout guy. I was everything.
You were manager of yourself.
I was
the
manager of myself. I really was. But, you know, so then it was as we started to grow and build momentum, we started hiring people. And quite honestly, and people don't believe this today if they know me, because I am the world's greatest delegator now.
That's
great. I can delegate with the best of them. It's almost like shameful. Like you feel like you're not doing your job.
What does Phil do?
Delegates. But in the beginning, it was very difficult for me. So I think as entrepreneurs, right, as you start your business and you carry so much on your shoulders, and when it comes time to scale the business and grow, at first it's amazing how difficult it is to let go. And you'll never grow your business if you don't let go. And that continues on. I mean, I have a conversation with one of my best executives. The thing that they're challenged with the most is letting go. I mean, not that they're micromanagers, but this person's a perfectionist, and they want to make sure it gets done. You know, sometimes you got to let your employees, your coworkers, skim their knees a little bit. You know, you don't want them to fall off the cliff, but you got to let them fail forward a little bit, right? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. So, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with that, and that's why they have trouble scaling their business.
It's like the E-Myth, right? Have you read that book from Michael Gerber? But the woman couldn't grow because she was making all the pies.
That's right.
And finally, she got taught somebody else to make the pies so that she could franchise the business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So so really making sure you're well capitalized, you know, whether it's through, you know, sales and a variety of what you guys do, and maybe investors, maybe partners, you know, loans, all that stuff. And then really you're saying being okay with delegating.
Absolutely.
You can't do everything.
You have to delegate. You have to, because there's no one person who's smart enough to do everything anyways.
Right.
Right? And, you know, and the other thing I see a lot in small business, and it's funny because, again, we're a small business, right? We're getting bigger, but, you know, we've had a CFO since day one, right? And it's a much more complicated business than most, and it's really a necessity. But I see so many businesses doing so well, and then they become penny smart, pound foolish to an extent that they don't want to invest the money.
Right.
And, you know, because you got to take a couple of sidesteps for maybe a year or two to make that investment.
Right. Yeah.
To get ahead. And, you know, really keeping close account of your financial situation.
Yeah.
You know, so many entrepreneurs are just gut business people, which is
visionaries,
great. Visionaries. And, you know, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I got X number of leads, this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know, what's the bottom line look like? Well, I don't know.
I don't know, right?
My accountant will tell me at the end of the year. I mean, I don't know how you run your business.
Right,
You know, because then all this, it could be too late, right? Yeah. I mean, you want to be proactive about your situation and really paying attention to those numbers.
Yeah.
And typically, let's face it, your salesperson, who, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs start on the sales side, they're usually not the best.
Right, at the details.
On the details side.
Right.
So, you know, you got to know when to invest in that next. And that kind of goes full circle around to delegation.
Yeah.
And it goes full circle around with capitalization, right? Yep. You got to have the capital to allow you to make those investments.
Right.
To continue to grow. Otherwise, you can just kind of get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. One of my mentors, Darren Hardy, who used to be publisher of Success Magazine, and now he runs training groups called High Performance Forums, which I've been to. He says the same thing. Find out what you do best, find out your superpower, and you should be spending 95% of your time doing that. So he says delegate, but don't abdicate, right? So a lot of entrepreneurs are like, I'm terrible at this, I don't want to do it anymore, but then they don't set up systems, and this is what Darren says, to inspect what you expect.
Right, yeah.
So you have a CFO, because maybe that's not your superpower. Your superpower is biz dev, growing, leadership, sales, good combination. But I'm sure that, you know, you're meeting with the CFO
and
your finger on the pulse.
Absolutely.
In marketing, right? Mm-hmm. You have Stacy. So you're not doing all the marketing. You have a really great marketing person.
Absolutely.
You meet with her, you find out what's going on. So inspect what you expect. And when Darren said that to me, get hit home, I'm like, that's it, you know?
Absolutely.
And just so have a weekly rhythm at least.
Yeah.
A dashboard, so you have your finger on the pulse. Because a lot of entrepreneurs, they think they're delegating, but they're actually abdicating.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, they're meeting with the CPA, and they're like, "What?
Right.
What happened? Yeah, what? You know, and a little bit too late now." So how about from a leadership perspective? Where do you go to continue to learn to be a good leader? I believe, like me, you went through some John Ingalls training.
Yeah.
Is that right? Years ago.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, for me, it was very helpful. I believe it was for you too.
Yeah.
We talked about it because John is the king of, you know, telling you what you got to hear, in hitting you right between the eyes with it, right? Yeah. You know, and you know, he taught me to, as he likes to say, be very candid, but try to be tactful about it, right?
Right, right.
Because some people are candid, but they're being candid, they're like a Mack truck rolling over you, yep. And it doesn't feel so good. Right. So some great training. What are some other things that you have done or continue to do that have helped you to continue to be a great leader of a pretty big organization now?
Yeah, I think the thing that I have going for me is our board of directors, frankly. You know, yeah. So we talked a little bit in the beginning. We are privately held. We mm-hmm. have 17 shareholders. Coincidental to those 17 shareholders is our senior management team and our board of directors. So everyone on our board of directors owns a piece of the bank in varying degrees. But they're also all accomplished entrepreneurs mm-hmm. in a bunch of different industries. And, you know, we've developed such a great relationship over the time, and they all have their certain strengths. And they've been a great sounding board for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have board meetings very often. Mm-hmm. We have 8 a year. We have an offsite strategy meeting once a year. We have several committee meetings, so I have a lot of interaction with these folks. And, you know, through that interaction, I also have one-on-one meetings. And, you know, Steve Sauer is one of them. You know, he was a banker, bought in, was a CFO.
Right.
They had one of his customers, ended up buying the business, business methods, and ended up selling it to Toshiba. He runs that organization today. But Steve is not bashful to pull me aside and say, hey, Phil, these are the things you should think about. And quite frankly, it's the same way the other way. When I, you know, Steve's very good at sales management things, and I go to him. Gary Hasley owns Zeller Corporation, sold that a little while ago. He joined our board a few years ago. He's very good at operational things, and he's actually chairman of our comp committee, very astute managerially. Anthony Catronio from Wood Zoviet, obviously a great legal mind, but also a great business mind.
Yep.
Phil Saunders, we've talked enough. You know, his story.
Yeah. I mean, no,
just great, you know, just a great group of individuals who are not only my board, which, you know, you think about a board of directors there for governance. They're there for mentorship, but they really, I've developed a really good relationship with them where
it's almost like a mastermind, right?
It's really a great thing. And, you know, so often, like, you know, you have young entrepreneurs and our YPO, Young Presidents Council, and Vistage. And I've had these groups approach me a lot, and I have a lot of respect for what they do.
Yep.
And I think there's definitely value in those organizations. But I always turn them down because, I'm blessed to have this circle around me that provides all the expertise that I feel I need.
Right.
What's the message there? That's not – small business owners, entrepreneurs don't often have that type of network immediately where you can have that level of confidence and express confidential information with people in that close of a circle with that degree of expertise. So, you know, what's the story there? You have to you have to develop that network.
Right.
You know, and I think it starts with the basics. You know, you have the people around you. It depends on how big you are, but, you know, you have to have a very good CPA.
Yeah.
You know, your lawyer, your banker, hopefully, right? Yep. And that that becomes your initial
that's like the
network,
the foundation,
but then it's got to expand beyond that. And then, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to keep building on that.
Well, if you read the book Think and Grow Rich, they talk about that. It's number one thing is creating a mastermind alliance, and you've done that. So, hey, Phil, I could talk to you forever. I enjoy talking to you, but we do have to go.
Okay, great.
So, once again, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate all the wisdom and the experiences you shared with us. And congratulations on your massive success. And I'm rooting for you for $1 billion.
Thank you. We'll be there soon.
On your way.
Again, I'm flattered to be here, and I appreciate it. It was enjoyable. Thank you.
So,
and good luck to everybody.
Thank you. So let's say someone wants to get in touch with you. They want to. I need to switch to that bank. How can they get in touch with you and/or the bank? What's the best?
You know, grbbank.com is our website. My profile's on there with my phone number and my email.
Your very handsome picture.
Please reach out, and my assistant Julie would be happy to set up a meeting.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Phil. Once again,
appreciate it.
Thank you, listeners. We do have to go. Hope you learned a lot from Phil Pecora from GRB Bank. Really appreciate it. And last but not least, if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
talk radio alternative. 1310 WOKR.